Father, tonight as we come to you, God, we thank you for the awesome privilege that we have in coming before you. We think of Jesus and all that he's done for us. He has just absolutely, we find no fault in him whatsoever, God. We see Jesus as the perfect and holy one. And we feel so, have so much confidence because Jesus Christ is our Lord. We have so much victory because Jesus Christ is our Lord. We have so much, God, to look forward to because Jesus Christ is our Lord. And God, tonight we ask you, Father, for your presence by your Holy Spirit. And we look to your word where Jesus said himself, he said that he would ask of the Father and he would, the Father would send us the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth. God, you even said that he would show us things to come. And Lord, so we're asking God that tonight as we look into your word, as we talk about your word, as we endeavor to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we are confident that he will lead us into all truth tonight. And God, you know exactly what we need to hear. And Lord, we ask, dear Father, that you grant unto us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us tonight in the name of Jesus. And Father, we also take the opportunity to pray for our nation as we gather together, God. We think of our nation of Canada and we ask, dear God, Lord, that your Holy Spirit move upon those who are in high authority in our nation, God. Lord, we pray for those who are in higher authority. We think of Jack Layton, God, and it's like that. There's many areas that I wouldn't agree with him in an area of politics, Lord. But, Lord, we want to pray for him and hold him up to you that your healing power would come upon his body, God. Lord, that you would cause him to know that you are with him, God, and that, Lord, even through all of this, God, you could draw him to yourself, God, and his family, God. Lord, we pray for his wife as well, God. Grant them comfort and peace through the situation that they're going through, God, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we want to speak blessing upon them, God. And Lord, we pray for our Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, and his office, God. We ask, dear Lord, that you would grant unto him a spirit of wisdom and revelation on how to deal wisely in all the affairs of life, that we might be able to live at peace in this nation, God. And Father, that you would stir upon the Prime Minister Stephen Harper's office, all those who are involved in his office and his caucus and those who are in place of authority, God, grant them wisdom, Father, and help them to be able to hear and to be able to discern the way things are done in the kingdom of God and how that can relate to this nation of Canada. Father, I pray, dear God, that you would cause this nation of Canada to overflow with your love, your peace, your grace, your power, that the nations of the world would look upon Canada and they would recognize it as a nation who serves God. Father, we thank you for the privilege of living here. Thank you for the awesome privilege that you give us in living in this nation of Canada. We just feel so blessed, God. We feel your hand is on upon the nation of Canada, God. But we don't take that for granted, God. We ask, dear Father, that the flow of the Holy Spirit from one end of this nation to the other would cover every area of this nation, that Jesus Christ would be exalted and honored in our nation, we pray. Lord, that your kingdom would come, your will would be done in the nation of Canada as it is in heaven. And we praise you and thank you for that now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it seems like every week we do things a little bit different here, but we're going to, tonight, I just felt to teach a little bit on the area of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But I want to just go back a little bit for a couple of things that we talked about last week. We talked about this whole area of love. And how, I guess the topic was last week, if I remember correctly, how to obey God. And we really got into talking about a whole lot about love and about how important that was and how we can't obey God outside the law of love. I love the scripture where in James chapter 2:8 it says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you will do well. So when we think about all the laws that God sets out, if you will, that the main one, love, and consumes them all, or love is wrapped up in them all. One thing we talked about was to obey God, including his commandments. They are set up not for him, not for his benefit, but for ours. And if we can look at that, that the laws that God sets in place are always for our benefit. And even those laws that are difficult to keep and things that we look at, just even when it comes to loving each other, it's for our benefit more than anything else. And I think when we experience that, we start to get an understanding of the awesome benefit that comes from loving others. Now, I want to read a scripture tonight in Luke, because again, it talks about listening to the Word. It talks about the fact that we need to obey the Word of God and not only hear it, but actually do it. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Of course, we're quite familiar with this, but it's good to just to refresh us a little bit. Jesus speaking, "But why do you call me Lord and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat fervently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat fervently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Jesus is talking here about the fact that people who hear the word and do not do it are really not much better off than anybody who has even heard the word. Because in this, Jesus used the example of this man who built a house, and two people who built a house. One heard the word and didn't do it, built a house. Another man heard the word and did it. And the same trouble came to each house, the same wind, the same storm, and everything came to each house, but there was only one that stood. And so it was the one that did the word. And so even as we speak about every aspect of the word, this is something I really believe that the body of Christ, if we could get a handle on the doing of the word rather than just hearing it, because we've heard so much that we actually don't practice. If we could put it into practice, then it'd actually become an awesome, awesome benefit to us as we not only hear the word, but do it as well. James chapter 1, verse 25. "And he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Many times I certainly teach faith and believing for particular things and so forth. But when I look at this scripture, it talks about looking into the Word of God, doing the Word of God. If we do the Word of God, we will be blessed, but it doesn't stop there. Often we say, we'll be blessed if we do the Word of God. But it says here, we'll be blessed in whatever he does. So there's something that you have to do in order to receive the blessing. It's not just hearing, it's actually doing something with that word. And whatever we do, whatever we put our hand to, in regard to that word that we heard, we'll be blessed in it. But we have to do it. And this carries through even when it comes to being filled with the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk to tonight. It is wonderful to hear the word. It is wonderful to know it exists. It's wonderful to read about it. But until you actually do something with it, it doesn't really become profitable at all. I'll get into that maybe a little bit later, and I'll just give you a little bit of a testimony about how I have been filled with the Holy Spirit many years ago. I want to talk for a couple of minutes concerning the purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When we think of that, I know it's wonderful to be talk about the Holy Spirit. And I remember when I was saved back in 1980, and I kind of got thrust into this area of seeking God and seeking His Spirit and so forth. And I used to really get excited in so many areas. I could see that where the Holy Spirit could help me in my own personal life and how I could have a better experience with God and all that. And those things are all true. But we don't see that those things as a purpose for the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the reason Jesus said that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon us was that we might receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, that you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus said one of the main purposes for the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we might be witnesses. We might be a people who are going to declare that we have seen Jesus through his word in action and we believe in him. That word witness there actually comes from a Greek word that, from which we get the word martyr. And there's three different sections of meanings of that word witness. One is just a witness in a legal sense. You know, you're a witness for two people are going to sign a document, you need a witness. And so witnesses come, and that's one meaning of it. Another one is from a historical sense where you've seen things in the past. And one witness is who is a spectator of anything, a contest. You're witnessing something take place. And another one is those who, after his example, have proved the strength and genuineness of faith in Christ by undergoing a violent death. In other words, that's where that word martyr comes in, a violent death. And we read about that in Scripture. Like, for instance, Stephen was considered Jesus a great witness of Jesus because he was a martyr. That word encompasses a martyr. So when we declare and say, yes, we're going to witness for Jesus, well, in the true sense of that word, that could mean dying for Jesus, literally, physically dying for Jesus, being persecuted and dying for Jesus. Some of the people, especially in Muslim lands where they're persecuted and they become martyrs, that's where this word would be used here, where we are witnesses for Jesus. I also believe that it's also encompasses a whole context of an administration of the power of the Holy Spirit as well. I remember reading in the Fox's Book of Martyrs one time, there was this lady who was being persecuted for her faith. And I often wondered, how could people be persecuted? Some of the things that I've read about that happened to martyrs in Scripture and from the Fox's Book of Martyrs and other people, how could they ever endure such a task? And I remember reading this particular one about this lady who, they were trying to get her to deny her faith, and she had a young boy, and of course he was a Christian as well. They had him in the guillotine. They went to her and said, if you will deny your faith, your child will live. And she refused to, and the guillotine came down and decapitated the boy. As the story goes, she picked up his head and put it in her apron and began to sing praises and thanksgiving to God. She just absolutely refused to deny her faith. And you have to look at that. How could you do that? How could you possibly do that from a natural perspective? I don't believe you can. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, the Holy Spirit allows us to do things that really we can't do alone. We are incapable, humanly incapable of doing alone. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, he transforms us, gives us an ability to do the impossible. And to me, when I think of that word witness now, when I think of that lady, she was a true witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of awesome trial, she was able to stand and declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so when it comes to the power of the Holy Spirit, he is to encompass every part of our lives. And I believe that in the church that Jesus Christ is coming back for one day is going to be a church that's so empowered by the Holy Spirit, it will seem like nothing is impossible for it. Because it will come to be all that Jesus Christ has called it to be. Remember, he said that he's come back for a church without spot or wrinkle? Well, to me, that speaks of it come back for a church that is operating in the authority, the ability, and the power that it was meant to operate in. And when I look at the book of Acts and see the church and how the apostles moved and there's so many miraculous things take place, that's all part of the church. That's all part of what the church is to walk in. So Jesus is coming back for a church just like that. But we so need the power of the Holy Spirit. And if there's anything I can leave with you with tonight, I really want to impress upon you the necessity that we have to constantly remind ourselves that we need the Holy Spirit in everything we're involved in. Everything. And don't look at this as spiritual and this as secular, and so the Holy Spirit's going to help me here, but not here. No, he wants to encompass everything. He wants to be involved in everything, and we can count on him being involved in everything in our lives, to help us in our workplace and everything that we're involved in. We can't do it on our own. Otherwise, we get into the works of the flesh, and we know those are really not going to accomplish anything. Now, that was some of the purposes of of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think of the Apostle Peter. To me, he's one of the greatest examples when we see that before the cross, even before Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he just thought he was something. He thought he was great. He thought he could stand up against anybody. And he thought he'd be willing to die for Jesus. And yet, when it came right down to it, he couldn't. And, I see myself so much in that, because it's one thing to want to be somebody. It's one thing to want to do something. It's another thing to really stand up and do it. And I remember a fellow saying to me one time, he was kind of nonchalantly saying, I could do just about anything. And I thought to myself, well, yeah, we can all say that. It's really easy to say that. But when it comes right down to it, sometimes we can be like Peter and thought we were ready, but we weren't. We didn't have the power. But yet after the resurrection, after Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he stood up amongst even a treacherous crowd than before, where they were the Pharisees and the rulers, that they were really willing to come against Peter, and they were going to kill him, actually. And yet he wasn't afraid of that. Suddenly he stood up and spoke and preached the gospel, and many people came to Jesus. So where did he get that? The only difference is that the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And he was willing to stand. He was able to stand. And even able to stand and preach with such an anointing, with such a power, that so many people listened. I mean, here was an uneducated fisherman that the most involvement he had in preaching was, for the most part, seeing Jesus do it. I mean, that was pretty awesome, but it doesn't really give us that, he took any courses on how to do it. But yet, it seemed like from the very first time he started, God blessed him. And the anointing was there to get that across. So that's another area of the necessity and the power of the Holy Spirit, how it can come upon us to do things that we really cannot do on our own. And talking about the Holy Spirit, I always love to go to Luke chapter 11, because wonderful scriptures there where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and how we are to receive the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 11, we'll start at verse 11, I guess. No, let's go back to verse 9. Jesus said, "I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" Now, we see here Jesus is referring to, if a son asks for a piece of bread, you're not going to give him a scorpion. And if he asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a stone and so forth. The thing is that Jesus is saying here, if we're asking God for something, we don't have to worry about getting something evil if we're asking for something good. We have to have confidence that God is going to hear our prayer and answer. There's actually about three things there that we want to look at when it comes to this particular scripture. And the first one, God is faithful to give the Holy Spirit. He wants to give the Holy Spirit to us. He wants to be able to administer the life of God by His Spirit in us. And this is not referring to now the born-again spirit, the born-again experience, I should say. I think I've related to this in the past, that when we are born, when God spoke and brought man into existence by gathering the dirt up, and the scripture says that he breathed life into Adam, and man became a living soul. The life of God came into that form, and man became a living soul, started to live. And I believe that when God breathed into Adam the breath of life, that was a continuous breath flow that brought Adam life, that Adam was able to have communion and a relationship with God because there was a constant flow of life that came from God to Adam. But when he sinned, that was cut off, that life flow. Now, remember Paul says in the book of Acts that it is him, God, whom we live and move and have our being. So there is still a part, just like what Pastor Len was referring to on Sunday, there is still a part of that image that God placed on man when he created him, even in unredeemed man. There is still an image of God in each created being, or else he wouldn't be able to live. Paul said, in him we live and move or have our being. So even when I was lost, even when I was a child of the devil, there was an image of God still there in me.